Mr. Chief Justice, and members of the court. May it please the court, I'm David Ormond, Deputy Attorney General, representing the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. The Superior Court stated that the only issue is, quote, whether Delaware's General Assembly has granted DENREC the power to issue regulations directing land use and utilization in Sussex County's inland bays, watersheds, end quote. The Superior Court did not answer that question, and contrary to what it said, it did not even analyze the statute that gives the answer. The answer is yes, DENREC was granted that authority, and the statute is Section 6001 of Chapter 60, Title 7. We submit that that statute is crystal clear. The policy and purpose sections of Section 6001 provide in their most pertinent part that the state, acting through DENREC, is to control the development and use of land to prevent pollution and protect water resources.
Can I stop you before you get too far into it? Because what I noticed was in the very beginning where the trial court said the ultimate question is whether the Delaware's General Assembly has granted DENREC the authority to implement regulations which create zoning laws regarding the land in the reference watershed. Can you tell me specifically what is a zoning law as opposed to another law that has some impact on land use?
Yes, Your Honor. That is the central problem with the Superior Court's decision in that zoning was not analyzed or explained, and the term zoning really has no meaning apart from a reference to an underlying enabling statute. Comprehensive zoning, which is what is granted to local jurisdictions, is a division of a political territory, dividing all the land up into land uses and also into appropriate restrictions on that land. And it's done for many different reasons, pursuant to a comprehensive plan that looks to the present and future needs of the society. It looks at neighboring uses and tries to decide what's the most appropriate use, looking at off-site impacts and also the character of the neighborhood. And it looks at many different factors, from flood control to aesthetics to property values. So this is a long answer, but it's an important point because DENREC was not engaged in comprehensive zoning. DENREC was engaged in controlling pollution through its delegated power from the General Assembly.
Okay, but I'm trying to be a little bit more basic, and maybe I'm off in the wrong direction here. But I'm trying to determine what is the difference between a zoning law and another law that has an impact on the use of land, such as what DENREC has done.
Yes, DENREC believes that the term zoning law can only be understood by reference to the underlying enabling statutes. And another law, for example, you could call it a pollution control law, would be similarly vague and lack meaning unless you link it to the enabling statute of the governmental subdivision.
Okay, so you're saying a zoning law is something that's called a zoning law?
Well, in its most elemental, I think zoning is commonly understood elementally as dividing territory into zones, but it has no meaning unless it's tied to what the General Assembly said when it delegated that authority.
Well, what is the meaning when it flows from the Constitution? Forget about the General Assembly's acts, which have to be in conformity with the Constitution. The 1897 Constitution, Article 2, Section 25, speaks to the County of Sussex adopting zoning ordinances that affect the use to be made of land.
As I understand it, the Constitution enables the General Assembly to delegate land use authority, comprehensive zoning authority, to local governmental jurisdictions, and in fact, that's what the General Assembly did for Sussex County. in the Quality of Life Act and in chapter, well, subchapter 1 of chapter 69. So that's, there is a delegation, and that's the General Assembly can take that delegation away, and they can direct the counties to do certain things and have done in many different statutes.
You started your remarks by relying on Chapter 60, but the PCS regulations begin with reliance on Chapter 40, 60, 66, 70, 72. And my question is, are you abandoning the other sections that were cited in the regulation as the legal basis for this?
The legal basis is Section 6010A. The other chapters were cited in part because those other divisions, for example, the Division of Watershed Stewardship, which administers Chapter 40, were involved in this long 10-year process of trying to come up with a pollution control strategy. So you see that, for example, in Section 5 of the Pollution Control Strategy Regulations is...
Well, what I want to ask specifically is a buffer a program element of stormwater management?
It could be. A buffer is a lot like a zone in that it can mean a lot of different things, but in comprehensive zoning, it often means separating one land use from another. So you might have single-family homes.
The reason I'm asking this is Chapter 40 seems to make some reference to counties and conservation districts incorporating stormwater management plans in their approval process for development or land use.
Yeah, yes.
Well, but you're not relying on that.
We are not relying on that. These regulations were not promulgated pursuant to Chapter 40. Chapter 40 sets up a very complicated scheme of delegating part of DENREC's authority to the local conservation districts. And then they will, for example, refer enforcement back to DENREC, and it's quite complicated. But these regulations were not promulgated pursuant to Chapter 40. I believe those other sections, wetlands and such, were referenced because those programs participated in the promulgation of these regulations. They all work together. For example, DENREC's water control, water quality buffer, part of the delineation of that is based on wetlands. So each one of those sections has some connection to this. It's all working together as a whole. But the regulations were promulgated under Section 6010, subsection A.
Let's assume for a moment that this is sort of Delaware's mini version of cooperative federalism. Instead of the federal EPA and our DENREC working together for some common purpose but dividing up responsibilities in different ways, if the people in their constitution say that the General Assembly may authorize the counties to regulate the use to be made of land, and then the General Assembly by statute promulgates a devolvement of power to DENREC to solve problems related to pollution which have an impact on the use of land. At the end of the day, this case is about a 50 or 100-foot buffer. Which controls and why?
Well, the constitutional delegation is for comprehensive zoning power. DENREC doesn't believe that abrogates its delegation from the General Assembly under the Constitution or otherwise.
Well, what is DENREC's source of power from the Constitution, if any?
Well, we cited several cases in our brief that explored that question when DENREC, in its infancy, those questions were answered in several cases we cited.
Well, is there a specific state constitutional delegation of power to DENREC, a statement by the people about how they want their government to operate, authorizing DENREC to enact buffer zones regulating the use of land so long as the purpose is connected to protecting freshwater wetlands and preventing pollution?
I think I can answer that by saying, if you mean specific that that is exactly stated in the Constitution, then no. But it does track back to the Constitution just on the basis of administrative regulation and the ability of the General Assembly to delegate legislative and executive and quasi-judicial power.
Well, but there is no question that the Constitution, again, the people, not the bureaucrats, but the people speaking about how they want their government to operate, say that the counties may adopt zoning ordinances that determine the nature and extent of the use of to be made of land.
Yes.
So who trumps who at the end of the day is my question.
Well, the General Assembly can specifically say who trumps who, and they did in the Beach Preservation Act and said, use the words, quote, sole jurisdiction, end quote, with regard to devices, erosion control devices on the beach. The Source Water Protection Act, which was also discussed in the briefing, in that particular case, the General Assembly used DENREC's expertise to identify areas where regulation is needed and then directed the counties. And if I'm not answering Your Honor's question, I apologize.
Well, I'm just trying to get an answer to the simple question. When you have one state agency that says a buffer zone should be 100 feet from a designated area, which means it affects the use of land within that buffer zone, privately owned land, and then you have a constitutional delegation of power, in effect, if it's implemented by legislation, to the counties to regulate the use of land within their county, and that's a different buffer zone. At the end of the day, which buffer zone is the one that prevails?
Well, thank you for clarifying the question. I hope I can answer it this time by saying that if the General Assembly has not spoken to the interface directly in its delegations, then it's DENREC's contention that the jurisdictions overlap. So the more stringent provision would control.
Well, what overlaps, and I think, you know, this is the fact that drives this case, is that that one statutory scheme, the one that authorizes DENREC to proceed, appears to allow DENREC to restrict or to regulate the use of land, at least for environmental purposes. The zoning codes also authorize restrictions on the use of land. Now, the question here is whether that restriction, that common characteristic, when it's accomplished by DENREC, is zoning, constitutes, quote, zoning, as the Superior Court held, or whether it doesn't. And one of our problems is that we have to answer that question on a principled basis. So my first question to you is, what is the principle that distinguishes zoning from pollution control? And secondly, how do you articulate that principle in a way that's clear and simple enough that you can write an opinion that will be a source of predictability, in whatever future conflicts may arise between the jurisdiction of the counties and the jurisdiction of DENREC?
Yes. The delegation to Sussex County in Chapter 69 sets out what comprehensive zoning is. It has a comprehensive plan, and it talks about a holistic view of the entire county and looking at many different factors.
Well, wait. I've asked you what I thought was a simple question. For your side to prevail, we have to hold that the land use restriction that's prescribed by DENREC is not zoning. There's a because that has to come after that statement. And I'm just asking you to tell me in a sentence or two what the because is.
Because the water quality buffer is not comprehensive zoning.
It's not zoning because it's not zoning.
No, it's not zoning because it was only looking at one statewide delegated problem, which is pollution control, and not looking at the entire territory, not looking at land values, aesthetic values, all the things that go into comprehensive zoning. Ordinances are not issued by a local territory in a vacuum. The comprehensive plan is a future plan, and
I was asking you to state a principle, not to give us a treatise.
Yes.
Is there a principle by which we can determine in a clear, concise way why the same activity, when it's done by DENREC, is not zoning. But if it's done by Sussex County, it is.
If DENREC is acting within its delegated authority for pollution control, then that is not zoning.
So you would distinguish between these two activities, which are essentially identical, in fact, on the basis of their purpose. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. I do want to point out that the purpose for Sussex County's buffer is not stated in the record or in any of the ordinances. It says it is to preserve that environment from man-made encroachments, but it doesn't say why. And we can presume that it may be for the kinds of things that yard setbacks are for, which is to provide adequate air and light, or it could be for fire suppression. It could be for many different things. We don't know what it's for. But the fundamental premise here is that DENREC is not hindering the objectives of Sussex County with its buffer.
Why is it necessary, part of pollution control, to say that this buffer, that the lots have to be not part of this buffer? I mean, why can't, for purposes of calculating a subdivision and the number of lots available, if it's a pollution control method that has to be employed, it's just employed on the lots that abut the water or the wetlands? Why is it necessary to start regulating parcel size and control to that extent?
Well, the DENREC's intent was that the homeowners association would take one lot, which would be the buffer, and that would be, they have found that in other contexts such as stormwater retention ponds, if a homeowner, if it's within their lot, then it's much more difficult for DENREC to enforce, and oftentimes DENREC has found that the individual lot owners will start to encroach. It's very difficult to enforce. So the intent there was that there would be one parcel, it would be the buffer, it would be turned over to the homeowners association, like open space as well. And I do want to point out that the DENREC's buffer only comes into play when you have a change.
You're saying it's easier, but the purpose of pollution control could be met by a requirement of this berm or buffer natural area on the lots within a subdivision, could it not?
It could. DENREC makes these regulatory judgments all the time, and its judgment was that it would be beneficial for enforcement and to keep the integrity of the buffer to not have lot lines run into the buffer and have the homeowners association take title to it.
Could I?
Go ahead.
I just want to get back to something that Justice Jacobs was asking to make sure that I'm clear on it. The difference between zoning and what DENREC is doing with respect to this buffer is that a buffer that's part of zoning is part of a larger comprehensive plan. And your regulation with respect to the buffer is not part of any plan. It is a pollution device, a pollution control device, if you will.
Yes, DENREC was acting pursuant to its delegation from the General Assembly to control pollution. That's a matter of statewide concern.
Right. I'm just trying to see why the exact same. Rule, if you will, the setback, the 100 versus 50, in one case that's a zoning ordinance, and in your case it's not, and the reason why it's not, according to DENREC, is because it does not purport to be part of a comprehensive plan.
Right, and we live in a world of overlapping jurisdictions. Chapter 80 says that DENREC has primary, quote, end quote, responsibility for water pollution control. And somewhere in Chapter 69, it says that, I think it's 6903, says that, 6904, excuse me, that one of the purposes that Sussex County can enact a zoning ordinance is for air and water pollution abatement. And some elsewhere, so those aren't exclusive. There's nothing to say that they're exclusive. And so if the General Assembly hasn't spoke to it, then the jurisdictions are overlapping.
I want to go back in light of the overlapping jurisdiction of what I characterized earlier as our homegrown version of cooperative federalism. You stated what I believe to be the principle that applies to the regulation of private property, that the more stringent regulation would prevail over the less stringent. I thought that the common law provided that when you regulate private property, that government is best that governs least, consistent with the old Jeffersonian principle, which would mean the more stringent would not govern over the less stringent.
I believe that would be a policy judgment that the General Assembly would make, Your Honor.
If it hasn't already been made by the people in their constitution.
Yes. I see that I'm into my reserve time. If the court has no further questions, I'd like to reserve my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. If it pleases the court, my name is David Rutt, and I'm appearing today on behalf of the appellee, Sussex County. What the appellant is asking this court to do is ignore Article 2, Section 25 of the Delaware Constitution and the statutes passed by the General Assembly vesting the power to regulate land use, in this instance, to Sussex County. As Justice Berger had pointed out, the issue which was framed by Judge Graves below is that the ultimate question is whether Delaware's General Assembly has granted DENREC the authority to implement regulations which create zoning laws regarding the land in the reference watersheds. And as you know, Judge Graves answered that question in the negative, and we're requesting that this court affirm his position.
And help me understand that if Sussex County chose to amend the zoning laws to eliminate these buffers completely, that they're no longer required for new development or in any other way, is it your position that DENREC still cannot impose a pollution control mechanism such as a buffer requirement adjoining these tidal waters?
They could establish regulations which set criteria such as how many parts per milliliter of water a certain pollutant may have, and if the landowner, even without a buffer, violates that, they could control that through whatever their enforcement devices are.
Could they develop a plan that basically says there shall be a buffer? Let's assume they say, well, we agree with you, Sussex County, 50 feet is the right number. You're going to eliminate it. We like it. And so it's going to be 50 feet from still. Could they do that?
I don't think so, because a buffer is a zoning instrument. It's part of the zoning criteria. It's a tool of zoning. And in this case, the zoning is vested by the Constitution and the statutes in Sussex County.
Well, Mr. Rudd, your answer to that question sort of puts the rabbit in the hat, doesn't it? That is, the Sussex County Zoning Code prescribes a 50-foot buffer. The DNREC regulations prescribe what is functionally a buffer as well. So in that respect, and in that respect alone, these two jurisdictions are attempting to do the same thing, although perhaps inconsistently. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Okay. Sussex County has had a buffer ordinance since 1991.
All right. So if you look at what is going on simply and exclusively from the standpoint of Sussex County, that's zoning, isn't that correct?
The buffer, yes, Your Honor.
If you look at it from the standpoint of DNREC putting Sussex to one side, that's pollution regulation.
No, I disagree with that.
Well, let me get to my question then. Why is it zoning? And I don't think it's a sufficient answer to say because we say it is. There has to be some principled reason why that one characteristic, that one activity, which overlaps with a similar activity by the county, constitutes zoning. To put the question a different way, why isn't what the county is doing, why doesn't that constitute pollution control?
The issues do overlap, Your Honor, in terms of what the end result is. Buffers have been recognized by the courts in this state as zoning function, and I cite the case of Coker versus Kent County, in which the buffer is recognized as a zoning function. And in this case...
So you're saying it's part of the toolkit of zoning?
Correct.
And if environmental authorities use just one tool from that toolkit, even though there may be 100 other tools, that makes that activity, when it's performed by DNREC, zoning?
Under the laws of this state, it does.
Under what law?
Well, the Quality of Life Act requires that or gives the county the authority to zone the property. But it gives it mandates that the agencies of the state will participate in that decision-making process. They will provide their data, their information, and their expertise to the county. But the ultimate decision of where that line goes and how far it goes is still...
Well, I know that your argument as to how it ought to work, but it doesn't tell us in a principled way why that one activity, when it's done not by the county but by DNREC, presumably as a well-thought-out means of pollution control, isn't pollution control, but rather zoning.
In this case, it's more than just the buffer. The appellant, DNREC, has focused on the buffer, called it a water quality buffer. But when you look at the regulations in total, they establish a 100-foot buffer. They put all lot lines outside of the buffer area. Contrary to what Mr. Ormond stated, the buffers are part of the overall site development because they then require that the homeowners association has to maintain and care for them. They have to have a pollution control.
Well, this wouldn't be a problem, would it, if we change the facts and it were DNREC that prescribed a 50-foot buffer? That is, if the buffers were the same in length, there'd be no reason for anybody to be here. Am I right?
I would agree with that.
And if DNREC prescribed a 50-foot buffer and the county prescribed a 100-foot buffer, presumably the county wouldn't be litigating against DNREC.
No, because the county's authority to set that buffer exceeds what DNREC has established under your scenario.
Suppose DNREC then says, wait a minute, you can't do that, and sues the county, and we're back up here again, but with the party's alignment changed. What result?
I would say that the county would prevail under
Why?
The Quality of Life Act. The state constitution gives well,
let,
the
let
general...
Me, let me make my question a little better, and I apologize for interrupting you. Okay. Let's assume that the county is not established any type of buffer at all. It's simply not acted in that area. DNREC, however, establishes a 50-foot buffer, and that remains the status quo in the ground for, let's say, 5 years. And then the county comes along and creates and mandates through its zoning law a 100-foot buffer. Why should the county prevail?
Because the state constitution says that the General Assembly is the one who has the ultimate authority, and they can delegate mm-hmm. that authority, and they have delegated that authority to the counties. And they did that through the Home Rule Statute and through the Quality of Life Act.
Okay, so the authority of the county is really legislative authorities flowing from the state, but not DNREC's.
It's constitutional and legislative.
Okay.
And there are specific, the Quality of Life Act and the Home Rule Statute and Chapter 69 of Title IX
okay.
all vest in the county, the authority to zone.
Suppose the General Assembly, by explicit legislation, expressly gave DNREC the authority to prescribe buffers. So now you have both the county and DNREC with legislative authority. Who wins then?
It would depend on how the statute is framed. And
well, so assume it's framed in the clearest possible way so that they both have equal yet conflicting authority. Who wins?
Then there would be concurrent authority. But that isn't the case. There isn't a specific grant of zoning delegation.
Well, if there's concurrent authority, then can DNREC prescribe a 50-foot, and the county then 5 years later come in with a 100-foot requirement?
I believe so. Again, because as it stands now, the total zoning function, the comprehensive plan, the entire ball of rights and obligations under zoning are vested in the county. As I understand your question, it would be could DNREC or could the General Assembly give DNREC the right to establish a buffer. But they couldn't go beyond that and talk about what DNREC could do in terms of building setback lines or height requirements of houses and that type of thing.
I think part of my concern, and I think without speaking for the Chief Justice, his questions touch on the same concern, and that is, are we really talking about whether this activity is zoning? Is that the true issue, or is the issue one of who has paramount authority? And I thought your argument was, well, in this case, the county does, because legislation trumps over administrative rulemaking authority. But that question drops out once you presuppose that both of these governmental agencies have legislative authority. And I'm asking you, in that case, on what principle we decide which one trumps?
As it stands now, and looking at the law as it stands now, the Constitution gives the General Assembly the right to delegate the zoning authority, and they have given that right to the
county.
Okay,
so you're saying it's the Constitution trumps the legislature, and
well,
that's why DNREC, even if the General Assembly empowered DNREC to do what it's doing, in other words, enacted these regulations into statutory form, the county would still win.
Under the laws it stands now, yes. This case was filed 3 years ago, and had the General Assembly wished to grant that power to DNREC, they've had 3 years to do it, and they have not done that. And I think that speaks volumes as to the position of the General Assembly on whether DNREC should have the authority to zone.
Well, I want to understand your position on what the constitutional limits are, if any. As I understand it, you're saying the Constitution allows the General Assembly to delegate, and they've done that. But the Constitution also confers police power, and the General Assembly can still exercise police power and, if necessary, withdraw any delegation. Can they not?
Yes, they could.
So the real issue here is whether this statutory language that DNREC is relying upon effectively withdraws that authority, at least if there's an irreconcilable conflict?
It would have to be clear and unambiguous to do so. And there's no clear and unambiguous statutory authority vesting the right to zone or to control the land use in the statutes that we have reviewed and have set forth in the briefs. And even DNREC can't specifically say this is the zoning authority. They rely on Section 6001, which is the purpose, the general purpose and findings for the environmental control statute. But I submit that doesn't grant the authority. As Mr. Ormond said, when this was enacted, they were relying on Section 6010A. That particular statute, or that particular section, has a qualifier that says that the Secretary, in adopting any rules, no such rule or regulation shall extend, modify, or conflict with any law of this state or the reasonable implications thereof. So by taking or enacting or adopting these regulations, it's our position that the Secretary overstepped his rulemaking authority because he has infringed on the powers which were delegated to the county by the General Assembly. He has taken and performed a function that he doesn't have the authority to perform.
Now, is it your position that pollution control has been delegated to the county as well?
The counties have an element of their zoning to abate or to address pollution control. But under the framework of the statutes as they're now set up, different agencies, and in this case DNRAC, has the obligation to come to the counties or to provide to the counties their expertise and their information concerning pollution control so that the county can take that, build it into their overall assessment of what needs to be performed and to then enact the appropriate ordinances.
So that if the county says no, it's DNRAC is powerless to implement a pollution control mechanism.
Their mechanisms would be to implement regulations that would not infringe on the actual use of land, such as buffers or lot lines, but they could implement regulations that say to the landowner or the user, you can only discharge so much per milliliter of pollutant, or you can only use certain types of fertilizers, or you can only use certain types of equipment in performing your daily functions. So there are regulations that DNRAC can do or can adopt for purposes of the pollution control. But we're saying that this is a very limited and focused issue of the right to zone, and that was vested in the counties by the General Assembly.
Well, so, and you're also saying that the rulemaking power of DNRAC is limited. But that argument, at least as I heard you make it, didn't mention section 6010B of Title VII, which reads, and I'm just going to quote it in part, "The state in the exercise of its sovereign power acting through the department should control the development and use of the land, so as to effectuate full utilization, conservation, and protection of the water and air resources of the state." Isn't that legislative authorization of DNRAC sufficient to allow them to adopt precisely the rule that they adopted here?
That is a very general statement, and my recollection is that that was adopted in 1973. The Quality of Life Act was adopted in 1988, and that was very specific as to what the powers were given to the counties, and in this case Sussex County, and it prescribed exactly what had to be done concerning the use of land, the comprehensive zoning, and once the comprehensive map has been adopted, it has the force of law. So, Your Honors, I had reserved 18 minutes of the 25 in deference to my co-appellee or co-counsel, and I'm about out of time. I have about 14 seconds left on the clock here. So if with leave of the court, I would like to relinquish my time for Mr. Niederman.
Your 2 seconds remaining will be relinquished.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Matt Niederman for the private appellees, White Farm et al. I want to start by picking up on a question that was asked, Your Honors, about what is zoning and what is a principled way to address the question of what is zoning. I would say, Your Honors, that zoning is something that imposes a restriction, a limitation on the use of land within a certain area or zone. I think everybody would agree, certainly nobody has argued, that when the county created buffer zones, that it was acting in its zoning function and its zoning capacity. If the county was zoning when it created buffer zones, then I don't know why Denrick wouldn't be zoning when it also has enacted regulations or promulgated regulations.
Well, the answer, you say you don't know why, but the answer from the other side is the why is that the fact that one tool of the zoning toolkit is being used doesn't make that zoning because it's done for an entirely different purpose under a different statutory scheme, under a rule that was adopted through a completely different process. Basically, to call that tool zoning is as arbitrary as calling that same tool, if it's done by the county, as pollution control.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand that, the argument of my friends, Your Honor, basically they would be saying that the same act, depending on the motivation or purpose of the act, would be characterized differently in terms of its effect. And I respectfully disagree. And the reason being, and I want to pick up on something Mr. Rutt said, which is a regulation that says, for instance, parts per million of nutrients coming on water runoff from a piece of land. That's a regulation that impacts the water, the environment. But then to go on to say, and the way that you have to address that regulation, the way you have to get to the result of that regulation is to restrict the use of land. That's when it crosses, I would respectfully submit, into zoning, Your Honor. And so I would say that, and there's also, I think, a supposition on the part of my friends that restricting the use of land is the tool for getting to the result that's being sought here, which, again, I think that I would respectfully disagree with. And I think it's...
I have your position on the stormwater management. Does that have any application in this context?
I would say no, Your Honor. It's not clear from the statute that would have any application in this context, and I think it would be a broad or unnatural reading of that act to say that has application here. And again, I think a couple of things to look at to understand why this is zoning and why it isn't authorized in this circumstance. We know that the General Assembly, Your Honors, when it wants to, actually does specifically grant authority to Denrec and other agencies to do things like Denrec has tried to do here. We cited in our briefs to a couple of acts, the Delaware Land Protection Act and also the Health Facilities Act. I think the Health Facilities Act was instructive in that it was an encroachment on zoning specifically by an agency, and the General Assembly came back a couple years after the enactment of the act and said, hey, counties, you can't zone in a way that affects hospitals specifically. So when the General Assembly wants to specifically address the limits or curtail the limits of a county who's been given that right under the Constitution to zone, it has done so, and it will do so. And that hasn't been done in this case. So I think this case stands in pretty stark contrast from other legislation in the state and legislation affecting other administrative agencies. The other arguments I would make, Your Honor, is that the question of conflict that has come up and has been argued here. First of all, I think we only get to the question of conflict if we get past the question of did Denrec have the authority to do this in the first instance. If they didn't, then there necessarily isn't a conflict, and we don't get to the question. If we get to the question of conflict, I think clearly there is a conflict here. My friends say there's not a conflict between the 50 and 100-foot buffer zones for two reasons. They say, one, it only affects part of the county. And I would, again, respectfully disagree that just because the regulation only affects some of the lands that were previously completely regulated by the county or zoned by the county doesn't take away the conflict. It just makes it perhaps a partial conflict, but certainly still a conflict as between 50 and 100 feet. Secondly, my friends say that there's not a conflict because this isn't zoning. And again, I think this gets back to this fundamental question of what is zoning that's at the heart of this case. We cited in pages 10 to 12 of our brief, authorities from this state and several other jurisdictions have recognized that setting buffer zones, zones that restrict the use of land in a specified area, is a fundamental tool of the zoning process.
Well, it may be, but that doesn't mean, does it, that because that same tool is used by a different agency for a different purpose, that makes it zoning?
I would disagree. I would say, actually, it does still make it zoning, Your Honor.
Let me then refine the question. Let's assume that the General Assembly amends the underlying enabling statute to expressly allow DENREC to do what it's currently doing by rule.
Mm-hmm.
What's the effect? And assume that there's a conflict.
Yeah, I think two things. One, I think the legislature can, as we have addressed in our brief, specifically give that mandate and it can give to DENREC and it can take away from the counties.
Well, suppose they don't take it away from the county, they just give it to DENREC.
And they create a conflict. Then I would say that the General Assembly would also have to amend the portions of 6010 that talk about what happens in the event of a conflict or that specifically prohibit DENREC from enacting regulation or legislation, because then you'd almost have an internal statutory conflict with the scheme. So they would have to amend, they would have to give that, and then they would have to amend the conflicts provision of 6010, in which case, and if they didn't, I think that would trump, the counties would trump. I see I'm out of time, Your Honors.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to pick up on several things my friend said. Point is, if the General Assembly wishes to prohibit a statewide agency from using a particular instrument, we call it a buffer, then it could say so. And you can say that, well, this has been in effect for 3 years. The General Assembly hasn't stepped in, they haven't stepped in to prohibit DENREC from using a buffer either.
In giving the counties the authority and, in fact, mandating the counties to develop a comprehensive plan for each respective county, didn't the General Assembly contemplate that the executive branch agencies that may have overlapping responsibilities as they see it should come to the counties, offer their expertise, and suggest to the counties that in the following way, your comprehensive plan, which the Constitution and our implementing statutes authorize you to do, should be amended? You, we note in Sussex County, have a vegetation prohibited 50-foot buffer zone. We think it ought to be 100 feet. And that be presented to the county, and the county decide on the merits, on the empirical data, which is the better course, rather than the state simply coming in and dictating under the circumstances that because we think we have the authority, we have the right answer, and it's a 100-foot buffer, regardless of the impact on the cost to the people who own that private land.
Yes, well, Your Honor, the General Assembly has enacted a number of statutes in recent years to assist the counties and the statewide agencies in cooperating, and I believe they do. And in Sussex County's comprehensive plan, they mention that they have attended numerous meetings with DENREC on the pollution control.
Well, let's just assume for the sake of argument that a 100-foot buffer preferred by the state and a 50-foot buffer preferred by the county is not the best example of cooperation. Where do we go from here?
The General Assembly could, for example, say that no statewide agency can enact a buffer or that DENREC cannot enact a buffer. They could speak to it as they did, for example, with the Source Water Act or in other acts. They have spoken in numerous instances to the interface between statewide agencies and the local.
Or look at it another way. They could enact a statute knowing of this conflict that specifically grants, if the Constitution allows it, which is debatable, DENREC to have this tool out of the zoning kit known as a buffer zone and give them the authority to trump the county 50-foot by enacting a 100-foot buffer. But they haven't done that either, have they?
No, they have not. It's DENREC's position that they've been given the authority to do this and that the jurisdictions are overlapping, and there is no conflict for a number of reasons. One interesting point is that there is no buffer for secondary waters and municipalities in the Inland Base watershed. There are a number of other interesting factors that shows that there is a minimal or no conflict. Both governmental subdivisions presumably reach their objectives. Whatever that 50-foot buffer for Sussex County, whatever that objective was, you know, DENREC is not hindering that. And developers do not have to choose. They're not on the horns of a dilemma. And also, it's important to note that DENREC's buffer only comes into account for a change of land use, for a change that requires a site plan or major new developments. And also, there is an option.
Is it essential to your position that there is no conflict?
If the court finds that the conflict language in 6010A is applicable, and we don't believe it is, but if the court were to find that, then there would be an analysis on conflict, yes. It's our contention that any law of the state does not include a local ordinance, so it's our contention that that language would not apply here. But that might be something the court would want to analyze. And it's important to note that the Superior Court erred. I see my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel, for a very interesting argument. We'll take the case under advisement and adjourn.